Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello. You're listening to BFN. This is the podcast about infertility, IVF, and the trials of trying for a baby. I'm Gabby.
And I'm Emma, and we're both card-carrying members of the Infertility Club.
Well, we've had a week off.
I feel so... Actually, I don't feel refreshed in the slightest.
Oh, did Wales not, like, replenish and revive and
Wales
restore?
Wales is lovely. Wales is lush. Lush. As the locals lush. Say. Saw Liz.
Saw Liz. I love that.
I didn't do any social media around the occasion.
I can't believe you guys didn't do any social media. I mean, that was a prime social media opportunity right there.
As I left, I was like, oh, I should have done some social media. She was like, oh, yeah.
Part of the
then she
BFN
was like, you're living
together.
In the moment. I was like, yeah, I lived in the moment.
I mean, that is a good thing, you know. Yeah. I think that's probably for the best. Although you did deprive all of our listeners.
Did deprive all of our listeners and followers.
Indeed.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I had a nice week.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't do anything.
You did one thing though, didn't you?
What, the newsletter?
Well, yes. Okay, you did the newsletter, but also you went to the pub with me.
Oh yeah, I went to the pub with you. That was good. Yeah. I've had a nice time. What have I been doing? I don't even, can't even remember. It just rolls into one these days, isn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It's been sunny and rainy in equal measures. Mm-hmm. And
we got a lot of sun in Wales.
Yeah, you got way more sun than we were getting over here, for sure.
It was lush.
Lush. Yeah, it's been good. Can't complain.
Great. Like top sparkling
pants.
This is going to win us awards.
Well, there's more of that coming, isn't there, Emma?
Yes, there's more of our pants coming because you're about to hear Gabby and I in a 20-minute unstructured brain dump about whether or not we're going to have second babies.
Yeah. It's... by popular demand, people have been wondering what's going on with baby number two, and so we decided to talk about it. And to be fair, I think it's not going to be for everyone, the conversation, because obviously we are in a privileged position to be talking about having number two, and a lot of you are still trying for number one, so it might be hard to hear us talk about it, in which case just don't
turn it off. Listen to Sophie, who's going to come along in a minute, tell you about her meds.
Yeah,
exactly. Don't listen to us twatting on. Just turn off. Turn off.
Exactly.
It's okay.
But yes, we will be discussing that and our current thought processes, which are plentiful.
Our thought processes.
Yes.
Are all over the shop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a confusing time. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully, I think the response, I did a little social media post about it, and the response to that was very much people were hoping to listen to it. So,
okay.
One half maybe into it, one half not.
Okay. Well, if you're not into it, just don't listen to it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just turn off the button.
And so, of course, yes, and we've also got Sophie.
Yeah. Well, Sophie first. So,
Sophie first. Yeah. More importantly.
Listen to Sophie, hear the little musics. Once that comes on, turn it off.
Yeah, we're talking about Sophie's dealer. So that's going to be an interesting one for everyone.
Yeah. In the meantime, if you would like to talk to us or indeed send Liz a question, you can email us.
BigFatNegativePodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter.
@BigFatNegative.
You can follow us on Instagram.
@BigFatNegative.
That's it.
And you can pre-order our book.
Oh, please pre-order our book.
Through many good online booksellers.
Yes.
many are available, not just the one beginning with A.
No.
And you can also buy a t-shirt. I've been wearing my Just Relax t-shirt, by the way.
Because it made you feel more relaxed.
Yeah, immediately. I actually almost wore it to go and get my second jab, but they wouldn't let me have the second jab. So I didn't actually feel very relaxed then. I was a bit pissed off, but I looked good. So.
Okay, well, that's great that you look good. Okay, yeah, go to our website if you want to do that.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you at the other end. Well, we'll catch you in a minute. To be honest, we'll catch you throughout, but we'll catch you at the other end.
Exactly. All right. We'll speak to you soon.
Soho.
Hello.
I should say that, shall I? Because then that gives an idea of your surname.
It's all right. I've got a surname. It's not a secret.
Your surname is Ho. Ho.
For all my hoeing, my fruitless hoeing.
Fat lot of that, did you?
Remarkable that all my hoeing hasn't been more productive.
Oh, well, what's going down?
Yeah, what's going on with the hoeing?
Yeah.
And I'm
thinking, not specifically
like,
with hoeing, the
hoeing. Like with a spade and then sowing the seeds of life. I'm thinking that kind of hoeing.
Yeah.
When you say with a spade, do you mean with a very, very fine needle that can inject one selected sperm into one selected ova, hopefully?
Yeah, that kind of hoeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, quite a lot's been going on, actually, since I talked to you last.
Oh, mate.
Excellent. We like to hear.
This is the content we're here for.
I haven't yet begun my injections, but that should be... in the next couple of days.
Okay.
That is dependent on another scan, because when I went for my, have I talked to you about my baseline scan?
No.
Oh God.
Beast.
I wish it had that soundtrack. So I had my baseline scan and they just said one of my follicles was quite open. It was quite, which they thought meant I was probably ovulating that day.
Okay.
Stop talking to me. I've got to get home.
No. We decided, we kind of both decided not to have one last crack at the whip.
Right.
Yeah. Because we had the month before, we've had two fertility windows in between being referred for IVF and then it potentially starting. And the first one we were like, oh yeah, this could be it. And obviously I was playing out so many scenarios in my head, like, oh, this is going to be really awkward. Like, how am I going to break it on the podcast? Because, Gabs and Emma are always like, oh God, just be prepared for everyone saying to you, you're doing IVF, you'll probably get pregnant now. And now I'm going to have to say to everyone, I actually did,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Don't hate me.
But obviously, we didn't get pregnant.
Okay, so no miracle baby for you.
No miracle baby. Oh. And then this time,
I mean, I'm sorry for you, but also like we kind of need a few more weeks' content. So I'm kind of
yeah, exactly.
It wasn't in the editorial calendar for you to get naturally pregnant.
I did it for you guys. It's the least I can do. And this month. Mr. Sophie he's got loads on at work at the moment. So he's quite stressed out anyway. Mm. I was kind of like, do you know what? Actually, I don't think I can deal with all that kind of nervous energy around are we, aren't we? Mm. And it's going to be really pressured to try, because we're both going to have this, like, this is potentially our last ever chance to try and get pregnant naturally. I think that's going to suck the fun out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to be, because you start your injections, or I've been instructed if my next scan, that's my reminder to take. We're going to have to redo that bit, aren't we?
No, I don't know.
Not necessarily.
It was my reminder to take all my supplements and remind Mr. Sophie to take his supplements as well.
Oh, in that case, it's perfectly timed.
Staying in.
Okay, on with the show. Providing that my next scan goes okay, I will start injections on day two of my period coming. Yeah. So I was like, I don't want to be going into like knowing my period's about to start, but being like, oh, but maybe it won't, but maybe it won't. Oh my God, it's a day late. And then coming into this process, which is like a really big emotional and physical thing, with a huge feeling of disappointment that I haven't got naturally pregnant. Mm. I was like, I'd rather just focus all my energy on feeling positive about going into IVF, not starting it with feeling a major disappointment and sense of failure right from the off.
Yeah. I mean, that's clever.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's like, you know, we've given it like, you know, a good 30 months worth of trying. Yeah. It's like the chances are pretty low.
I don't think anyone's going to accuse you of not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
So going in, trying to just feel as positive as possible.
And are you?
Yeah, I am actually. I'm feeling better than I have done in ages. I think not drinking anything, not having any caffeine in my life. Everything's very gentle. I'm doing kind of breathing exercises every day. Just, you know, diet's really good. We're both feeling really healthy. I'm just, and I'm doing, I can't remember if I mentioned this last time, but I'm doing these little note cards around the house where you kind of repeat positive affirmations out loud throughout the day.
Wow. What, so you just walk past one and you're like, live, laugh, love.
Yeah, you're gonna have to tell us what one of them says at least.
They are straight out the second best fertility book on the market. The first one soon to be available to everyone, but obviously can be pre-ordered.
Everyone in the UK.
Which is, yeah, it's the one that I'm using a lot, is the Dawning Kindersley one.
Okay.
By Zita West. So she recommends this and she's like, oh, you might feel a little bit eccentric putting note cards around your house and reading them out loud. Obviously I did it first, but now I'm bang into it. So I've got three of hers and one of my own.
Oh, great.
So the one she recommends is, my body is healthy. I am able to grow and sustain a pregnancy. I believe in every stage of this process, you know, it's like, and everything is going to plan and working as it should be, stuff like that.
So,
I'm kind of saying,
can you tell us what your one is, or is that too much?
Yeah, that's fine. I just threw in, as well as my body is healthy, my mind is healthy. Oh, my mind and body are healthy. And also, my first one is, every day brings us closer.
That's nice.
That is nice. I love it.
Yeah. Wow. And, you know, closer to whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, in one sense, it's just closer to the inevitability of death, I suppose. But there's going to be a lot. There's going to be other stuff happening along the road before
then. Or closer to each other.
Closer to each other. Well, that's why I quite liked it. I thought it worked on two levels. Like, we're closer to each other and closer to our goal.
Indeed.
Mate, how lovely.
So I'm in a pretty zen place. I'm not really seeing people, which I think would, for some people, not be the right thing to do in this situation. But for me, like, a lot of my mates are on the baby train, you know, but have kind of got kids or are on the road to their different way of becoming parents. Or whatever, you know, or like, you know, have kind of got their roadmap towards fostering or don't want to do that or whatever it is. And also I have got to not get COVID. So, you know, the kind of advice is try isolate wherever possible. So I'm
so much of it about.
Yeah, adds a whole new dimension to the process, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. But I'm quite enjoying just being indoors, having it's not really an excuse not to see people, but it's like, you know, it's I've been told to try not to see people, and actually right now it's much better to just be in my own space, you know, we're in our own little bubble. Doing a lot of like poetry stuff. I'm like fully nerding out on poetry.
That's great.
I was gonna say, you've got you're that kind of person that you can spend that time doing something creative with your brain, so that you're, you know, you're activated and you're in that zone rather than kind of wallowing and just watching Love Island, which is what I would be doing.
Do you know what though, I did the same thing. I self-isolated without knowing what self-isolating was. I was exactly the same, because I couldn't face seeing people. I couldn't face the like the head fuck of like trying to organize a social life and make sure I took my drugs on time simultaneously.
Yeah.
So I was just like, right, I'm just gonna stay at home.
I'm going to ground.
Yeah. And I watched, I can't remember what I watched, but it was something Love Island-ish.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, I find that, you know, like people are checking in, which is really nice because then I can respond to that on my own terms when I want to. Mm. But also, I know, you know, if I go and see people, it's going to be like, there's probably going to be food involved. And then I'm going to be like, oh, I'm actually trying not to eat this or this. And they'll be like, well, oh, no, you've got to enjoy yourself. Can't you just have a bit of this? And I just don't want to get into that whole thing. It's like, you know, actually for me right now, I feel really in control of my diet and I'm finding that really positive. And if I want to have a bit of chocolate, I can, but it's not someone else kind of judging me for being too uptight about it.
Well, this is it. I feel like if I were to do that, and I know certain friends of mine would probably have been like, yeah, but if you're too uptight, like maybe you just need to relax. Maybe that's what will help you to get pregnant. Do you know what I mean? You can see it coming out of their mouths now. You're like, don't say it to me right now, because right now I don't have the energy for
this.
This is
the thing that like people don't kind of respect your process. I feel like, you know, if somebody has decided that they're going to do something a certain way, like just let them do it.
Exactly.
People love to judge, don't they?
Yeah, and everyone wants to kind of throw in some advice or like, oh, you know, we're a bit worried about, maybe you should just do this because, you know, we know that you really like it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I fucking love drinking a bottle of wine. That is like not the right thing for me right now. I just need to be in spaces where that's...
No one's disputing that fact.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
It's just part of the like feeling in control. Like if you're in control of what you're eating, if you're in control of everything, then you feel like you're doing the right thing. And if you feel like you're doing the right thing, then you're okay.
Yeah,
and then what you're doing is right.
Exactly, and it's calming me down much more than it's stressing me out. You know, I think if I was trying to meet people 3 times a week, you know, in restaurants or at their houses or whatever, I would be really stressed because I'd constantly be, you know, as I have been for the last couple of years, you know, constantly judging myself the next morning, like, oh God, well, I haven't got pregnant this month because I had loads of puddings and chocolate and I drank loads of wine and what, you know, my sleep patterns been all over the place. And now I'm genuinely like, I know that I'm going into this doing, I mean, I did have like a massive pizza last night, but you know, like I'm doing pretty, you know, I'm kind of doing everything right. Exactly. I'm totally chilled about it. I'm doing everything on my own terms and it feels good. And also I'm having the only people I am really talking to other than the poetry community, which I'm loving, are like special.
Sorry. Is this the way you put it? Other than the poetry community.
Well, I did a poetry course not that long ago, so we're staying in touch, and it's great because there's no, the only thing we know each other through is poetry, so there's no small talk whatsoever. You know, we're just straight into like
unless
really
it's a rhyming couplets.
Poetry. It's just so nice to have and like, oh, I feel connected to a group of people, but like let's just get like straight into like analyzing why you've used tercets rather than like how are you feeling about IVF starting. You know,
that's great. That's really great. Also, I know I'm making fun of you, but I like you're really good at poetry.
Yeah, man.
So like I just want that to go on record, but I think you're really good at poetry, but I just think it's really funny that you talked about the poetry community. Is your WhatsApp group called Poetry Pals?
No, but I wish it was. I wish it was. We're beginners. We're just beginners.
We're all beginners, Sophie, in this big game we call life.
We're all beginners. We're all learning all the time. But anyway, enough of the poetry. The other people I've been talking to are experts, like real fertility experts. So I mentioned last time that I was going to talk to a natural fertility specialist, who is a good friend of ours, mum, who we've known well, you know, for years and who's really lovely. So saw her. She's a reflexologist and natural fertility specialist. She's based in the southwest in Wiltshire, so we saw her online, so we couldn't do the reflexology, but we did do the natural fertility stuff. Her name's Harriet Coombs and she was wonderful. really, yeah. really great. So she'd asked me to chop my temperature.
Oh, I love that. It's so satisfying.
For a couple of months. Well, I hadn't done it previously because I know there's a whole thing about it. And I just thought more data is going to stress me out about when I should
be. It stressed me out personally when I did it.
But, it stressed me out too, but also found it really satisfying.
But because she'd asked me to do it, I kind of absolved myself of the responsibility to understand the numbers myself. So it wasn't stressful for me, which was great. So she looked at that and actually pointed out that I'm quite cold. I'm quite a cold person. Yeah. I've got a much lower than average body temperature.
That's interesting.
And from that and asking me a couple of other questions, she was like, you might have a vulnerability in your thyroid. Have you got, you know, any family history of that? I was like, yeah, both my mum and sister have had major thyroid issues. Like my sister, who's younger than me, has had an operation, you know, related to her thyroid. So that was really interesting. And so she recommended that I get my thyroid function checked. So did that, just another needle in my year of my summer of needles. I was like, yeah.
Stick it in.
The nurse was like, are you okay with needles? I was like, yeah.
Fucking
so many needles this year. So many. That actually turned out to be fine, but I will come back to that in a little bit. And then she recommended some slightly different supplements for us, in particular one for Mr. Sophie, which is great. And then she just kind of, she asked us lots of things and shared loads of her expertise, but overall it was just really reassuring. And she also is very much of the opinion that, you know, don't get too obsessive about any element of this. You know, I'll share this advice with you, but the main thing is just to kind of do things that bring you joy and make you feel calm. And anything you can do, you know, treat yourself, find, you know, go and have a massage or whatever. So I was like, okay, cool. And then that, you know, later that week had the first massage I've had in years, you know, went for a pedicure.
Yeah,
spent a bit of time being like, oh, the chemicals and pedicures going to derail the whole IVF process.
I think one's fine, mate.
But even Mr. Sophie came back and was like, you've picked a pedicure, do you think the chemicals are going to be okay? That's so sweet of you.
I'm going to take the gamble.
The other thing is I got my pedicure, but then Harriet had said it's really important to keep your feet warm. So I only see my pedicure when I change my socks. But it's so lovely in the shower.
In the shower,
you're like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Bye-bye again, bye-bye.
Your socks. You're so colourful and nice just for me. And then I also went to go and see Louis. Yeah, and that was my first experience of I think the Louis theme tune is great and apt.
Thanks.
Oh, see, I always go Louis.
Yeah, which is definitely more of
that is a better one.
Much better.
I don't really know your one, Emma.
Do you not know that
I don't even know the tune. Anyway, Sophie, tell us about it.
Anyway, so went to see Louis. Really liked her. I mean, I won't talk too much about her because there's a whole episode with her.
I mean, you and Louis are basically the same person. Essentially.
For anyone who hears that, don't ask me to stick needles in you. I have no expertise in that area. and she is very good in that area. She's just like really chill. She made me feel really at ease. And also what I wasn't expecting is how you know, the same as seeing Harriet is just how, you know, they're both kind of specialists in, you know, this probably sounds a bit stupid because this is like the whole approach of like healing the body is you specialize in like one area or one approach, but you have to look at it holistically. But I guess I'm very used to being seen by people who work for the NHS, who, you know, GPs who have very, very short time windows and just don't have time to go into your entire medical history and like your whole lifestyle. And with both of them, they had such a comprehensive approach. So for example, seeing Louis, she had asked me before to kind of give a potted history of my whole medical history and And then from that kind of identified some trends and themes, you know, certain areas of weakness in my body. And then kind of, and that tallied with a lot of what Harriet said as well. And
so interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really interesting and kind of makes a lot of sense to have that much more holistic approach. But I guess, you know, the pressures on, you know, our public service health system mean that a lot of, you know, people probably don't have the time to get into that depth of being able to join lots of dots like that. Yeah. So anyways, that was really good. Came out feeling really zen and floaty.
Did you get a little bit high? Did you go like through the inner space in your brain? We're like, woo, like, I don't know. I think I had a nice body experience my first time.
Oh, nice.
I don't think I did. I just felt really great afterwards.
I was doing the breathing the whole way through. So I kind of got really in the zone with the breathing, just visualizing all this energy flowing to my womb.
Yeah.
Really like that.
So nice.
Yeah, that was really nice. And then she had also sent me some kind of, you know, dietary stuff. So starting on the pomegranate juice.
Oh, yeah.
Funny how everyone goes for the pomegranate. No one goes for the beetroot.
Pomegranate's delicious.
I think you can go for pomegranate and beetroot. Doesn't the M&S smoothie have both of those, I think?
Probably, but the beetroot juice tastes like old pom water.
Yeah, it's gross. Which is why if you mix it with pomegranate juice, you're on to a winner.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, safe.
No, it's fine. It's good to know I've picked the right juice.
You picked a winner.
You have picked the right juice, buddy.
So that's all been good. I mean, I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not really adding up how much stuff this costing. I'm feeling super lucky that I have got enough in my bank account to do all this stuff at the moment. I'm just like,
it's great. It's great to make you feel in control, but it's also worth, you know, saying at that point, it's not necessary for a successful IVF round.
No. Absolutely.
And if you don't have that money in your bank account, don't freak out.
I 100% agree. I think the things that are making me feel calmest are, you know, the things that haven't cost any money at all, right? Yeah. Which is, you know, just feeling like I am living a healthier lifestyle than I was previously when I was trying. Because I wouldn't have been able to, like, there are people who can maintain the kind of giving up all caffeine and not drinking and eating a super healthy diet, you know, for years. And I have huge respect for that, but that is not what brings me joy in life, and I wouldn't have been able to sustain it.
All right, mate.
Okay.
Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
It's not, you know.
Yeah.
There's a finish line. At least for this round.
And can you tell us if you took any joy from the drugs arriving and then putting them in your fridge?
Yes, I did. I did like that. Did I find joy from it? I don't know. It was another thing ticked off the list, which was good. I was really impressed with the booking system. I seem to always end up on the tech underpinning all these things.
The UX for these drugs was just amazing, guys. Can I speak to your CTO, please? I just need to thank him personally.
But again, there's something in, and you know, the guy who delivered them was really nice, you know.
Your dealer.
I mean, my drug dealer. It always helps having a friendly, nice drug dealer. He was lovely. I mean, I'm pretty sure he wished me luck, but I don't know if that's a kind of
in your head.
Memory. That was just the vibe. I don't even know if he knew what he was delivering, but I felt like he was wishing me luck.
Okay, well, you know, as long as those vibes were coming from him.
Yeah, let's take that, mate. Yeah, don't question
absolutely.
It.
Yeah,
exactly. I felt a bit calmer having, obviously I felt calmer having them because I wasn't worrying about, you know, them not arriving. Which I wasn't too worried about anyway, because I don't know, trust the system. But that was another thing off the list. But then actually seeing them all again, just kind of, I think when you hear the names of all these things and they're completely in the abstract, it's like, oh God, this sounds like so much to remember. And these are all really, this is all in completely unfamiliar language to me. Do you know what I mean? I have like no relation in my working or personal life normally to like this kind of scientific language and all these pharmaceutical names. But actually then having them, I'm like, oh yeah, I can like really see, I can see the physicality of them. And this is like an achievable volume of stuff to put into different parts of my body.
Mainly your tummy.
Mainly my tummy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Digesting some of them as well, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then sniffing some? Are you on Bucerolin?
No.
No, you're not doing a
no, 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 no nasal spray. Quite a few pessaries, a lot of pessaries.
Oh, yeah, well.
But, you know, I've done many pessaries in my time.
Laura pessaries. You got your panty liners?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to get those because I found your newsletter very, very useful with the team.
Can I just make a little shout for, oh, I've forgotten the name of it. There's a really nice like organic cotton panty liner. Doesn't have any plastic in it, company.
Ooh. That's great because I'm doing Plastic Free July.
Oh,
okay. apart from all the syringes and stuff, obviously.
Yeah, just don't think about those.
Sorry, guys, do you think you could reissue these in recyclable glass containers, please?
Do you know that my stepdad's father invented the plastic syringe?
Really?
No. Yeah.
That's great.
That's a little factoid for you there, which means obviously now we're all like, damn plastic.
Yeah, but it's actually a lot more sterile.
Yeah.
Like from a medical point of view.
Indeed. Anyway.
I think plastic for syringes, fine and good and okay. Plastic for, you know, a water bottle when you've literally got a tap in front of your face that you're going to throw straight into the ocean. Yeah. Not okay.
Yeah. Not okay.
Absolutely with you on
that. IMHO.
Mm-hmm. Well, so it's about to start. Next time we speak to you, you'll be doing injections, presumably.
I will indeed, yeah. Amazing. And I've written a letter to myself to remind me to be nice to my husband and to let him go off and get out the house as well. Yeah,
okay.
Encourage him to go out the house and have time alone. So who knows what I'll be like. And also it might not happen because this final scan might derail everything. But hopefully next time I'll be speaking to you, I'll be a complete hormonal mess.
I didn't find it that bad.
I hope so. I don't think I had any breakdowns.
It's just uncomfortable. That was my vibe. Towards the end, it gets really uncomfortable. Right. I can hear that Gabby's got a date with Gareth Southgate. So
the pizzas are ready, guys. The football pizzas are ready.
Well,
big news.
My sister's gone out to get some football pizza.
Oh, God. It's football pizza all around.
Yeah.
So if you've had yours.
I had mine last night. Yeah, I totally forgot I wasn't meant to be eating gluten or dairy, but I did remember. I normally always have everything vegetarian. I was like, no, I need loads of protein. Can we get really, really meaty pizzas, please? And then I got halfway through. I was like, oh, fuck. I need drinking all this oat milk, but obviously this pizza's covered in cheese and made of gluten.
Mate, it's fine.
But it's totally fine. I felt very happy.
All right, so thank you so much.
Thanks,
good luck.
Yeah, Sophie, good luck, dude. Happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
So you're gonna have another kid? I thought I'd just cut the intro. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Let's not beat around the bush here.
Let's not beat around the bush.
Mm.
I would like to,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of complicated thoughts and processes and anxieties going on around that comment. How about you?
Yeah, similar. I don't even know if I would like to.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I'm not sure. It's kind of, it's really hard, isn't it? Like, because I used to be a person that was quite happy to have an only child. And this is before the infertility thing. So before any of that happened, I thought to myself, I'd like to have a kid for sure. I don't really need to have lots. I think one would be fine. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
And now...
And you are a kind of an only child.
Pretty much. All my siblings are half siblings and they're significantly younger than me. So I did grow up without peers, shall we speak. So, and now that I've been... really lucky to have Otis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just brought up all sorts of feelings about actually, I do want another one. You know, I'm getting greedy now. I want more of that thing, that kind of indescribable feeling of a child.
Yeah,
and I've also the whole sibling guilt is creeping in, even though I just never used to have that at all.
Weird.
But do I want one now? I don't know. Obviously the whole process is going to be difficult and expensive. And, you know, I was very lucky in my first round of IVF, my first transfer worked. I know that that is very unlikely to happen again. You're just kind of like, oh, I'm scared.
Yeah, I think that summarizes my position perfectly.
Really?
The other day, I saw two announcements in rapid succession of pregnancies by people who have had babies since my daughter was born.
Mm.
And I got really tearful.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really understand why. And it really reminded me of when I first started, almost before I started trying for a baby, somebody announced their pregnancy and I got really tearful and I couldn't understand why.
Yeah, it starts to make you feel a bit weird.
Yeah, but what I don't have is that pit of the stomach. I need one. I need a baby.
Yeah.
And I'm almost frightened of starting IVF again. And getting that and getting the whole, like, I can't spend time with my friends because they have babies or they're, you know, they have siblings that they're getting pregnant again. I can't, you know, do any of the kind of normal stuff. You know, I walk past somebody with two kids and that makes me sad. I don't want to be in that place.
And it's all you can think of kind of thing.
Like, exactly.
You're just consumed by it.
Yeah. Indeed. I'm in a really good place right now. And I, you know... We're pretty happy as a family, and like, do I really want to bring in a very volatile element?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's a real head fuck, man. Because I think the pregnancy thing. So I wasn't thinking about number two at all until the people who had babies around the same time as me started to get pregnant again. And then you start thinking, oh shit, what, they're pregnant again? Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh fuck. And then this pressure builds. You're like, well, I should be doing it. I should be trying. I need to try and do it now. And I think that pressure is actually almost stronger for me right now than the drive to have another baby, because right now I'm not sure
how I could, if I could even handle having two. Like, you know, he's wonderful and I love him very much, but I'm not sure I can handle two yet.
No, and I'm the same. I put a massive pressure, and still have kind of have that pressure on myself to have a second baby in the same time frame that my mum had her second. So it would be, you know, the same distance apart.
Okay, what's that?
2 years, 8 months.
Okay.
So we are, I basically need to get pregnant in the next 3 weeks.
You're approaching your deadline rapidly.
Yep. You know, I that's not going to happen. Partly because we've got a book to promote, and I feel like being pregnant while promoting a book about not being able to get pregnant is rude.
Yeah, it is a bit rude. Yeah, it's definitely rude. We should definitely not do that. Yeah.
But then listen to me talking like I'd just get pregnant.
Well, this is the thing, right? You just don't know what's going to happen. And, oh God, yeah, it's like, because once you've opened that door, I think it's very hard to close it again.
Yeah. John and I have had a lot of discussions about it. And I'm worried that, you know, my second baby would listen to this in the future and be like, did you not want me? But I feel like this is a thought process that we're going through to make sure we want that person.
Yeah.
In our lives.
I mean, of course, you know, if I got pregnant tomorrow by some fucking weird stroke of miracle, it would be a wonderful thing. And, you know, all of these worries and anxieties and everything, I'm sure they wouldn't go away, but it wouldn't matter anymore. And it would be fantastic. And it doesn't matter. You know, all of this kind of back and forth.
Yeah.
It's funny, like I was speaking to Alison Perry.
Yeah.
And she was talking about going through this period after her first baby of just constantly just in your head, just thinking about having another one. That's should I? Shouldn't I? Is it time? Is it? Could I handle it? Would I? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when she said that when she couldn't get pregnant, she had this huge guilt because she had doubted,
whether
she wanted to do it. It is just a massive head fuck. I don't doubt that I would like another child for sure.
Right.
It's just the timing of that, I suppose. But one of the things we have, strangely, well, because I have embryos, and so I'm very, very lucky to have 3 frozen embryos at King's.
Same. Do you want to race?
Yeah.
That would be the most toxic thing. God. Can you imagine how awful that would be?
Oh, like penalty shootout.
Oh my God. That's very timely. Very timely. Oh,
no, thank you.
Yeah, very appropriate.
But what I was going to say is that because I've got these 3 chances of a baby in the freezer, I feel like I'm not too worried about my age. That's not really a factor for me at the moment. Like I'm about to turn 37, which isn't too old to have a natural baby. But I am getting on a little bit. But I don't have that kind of, I think some of my peers who are the same age as me are maybe thinking, oh, I should really do it sooner rather than later for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't have that because I'm kind of like, well, I've got these 3 embryos from 34-year-old Gabby's ex.
I'm exactly the same, but then part of me is like, am I being massively overconfident here?
Yeah. Well, this is it, right? What if you use the 3 embryos, sadly none of them take, and then you're like, well, now I really, really want one because I've been through this process, so now I have to enter the whole full IVF process again.
Yeah.
Which
John
could
I've had a conversation about that, and we've got a hard no. We've got a hard stop on that.
Okay, right. Yeah.
We've just decided that's not, I mean, and I'm sure that we will get letters from listeners now going, yep, we had the same. Then we did another 6 rounds.
Yeah.
I personally don't think I am strong enough to go through that again.
Yeah.
While trying to focus on my career and my present family, I just don't think I have the emotional strength to go through the kind of the mental anguish that I went through.
Yeah. I mean, never say never. I reckon I probably could, you know. If it was something I really wanted and I got to that point, I probably would just try and do it. But it's, you know, it's just, as you say, there's so much at play. Mm-hmm. It's emotionally tiring. It's fucking expensive. I don't have any money at the moment. I've got fuck all. I don't know where I'm going to pay for even this kind of, like, you know, when we do start IVF again, which, you know, it looks like we probably will.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to get the money to do transfers.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah, you might, listeners, you might suddenly find some very inappropriate sponsors coming up on BFM.
Yeah. Does anyone want to give us money? We'll talk about your shonky products till the cows come home if you give us enough money for a transfer. Oh, God.
Yeah. We guarantee 100% success.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got to say, well, the person who kicked me into this a little bit was good old, my old nemesis, Deliciously Ella.
Deliciously Ella.
Who got pregnant 6 months after delivering her baby, who was born around the same time as my baby.
That's mad.
And I instantly was like, fuck, am I supposed to be doing this?
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, my periods haven't even come back. My periods didn't come back until about 4 months after I stopped breastfeeding.
Mm.
So by that time, Noah was 13 months old.
Yeah.
So, no, that's, she was much older than that. She was 15 months old. So that's the, I mean, I couldn't have conceived either way, but, you know, it's funny that I felt that pressure even before I could possibly have naturally conceived.
Yeah.
If I could naturally conceive.
It's pressure, isn't it? And it's like going back to that. It's like going back to being infertile and being like watching people get pregnant and then it having an impact on you that isn't just, oh, that's nice news. You know, it's kind of like, oh, fucking hell. I'm not at the point yet where I'm jealous of people announcing their pregnancies. It just makes me go, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I need to do, I just like, oh, God, I need to get started. That's what it makes me feel.
But it's funny because, you know, I'm enjoying my time as a mother to a mental almost 2-year-old so much. I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think I would love motherhood this much.
Mm.
But I see, and this is something that people who haven't been through infertility probably experience as well, which is, I see people with more than one child and their life seems so chaotic by comparison.
Mm.
You know, we're relatively ordered. I mean, yes, I did try and pack a suitcase the other day. And yes, she did take every single thing out as I packed it, which was great fun and ended up with shit everywhere. But, you know, we're fair. We've got a good routine going. We're a really solid, happy 3.
Yeah.
Do we need a fourth? Like, why would we need a fourth? But then, as you say, the sibling guilt, I've got this voice in my head that's going, but what if you die? She'd be alone. What if you die? She'd be alone.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, is, what if he grows up and just leaves you?
Yeah, great.
You'll be alone.
You need a number 2.
Someone read his star sign and said that he was going to be fiercely independent and basically leave me. And that has had such an impact on my brain that I'm just like, what if he leaves me? So I'm like, also, I just want, I want more. I want more of it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then, but then I'm not sure I'm ready for it yet. But then everyone's getting pregnant. I should have it now. I should try.
I found pregnancy. I mean, I went through pregnancy with a kind of rictus grin on my face, telling everyone it was great because I felt like I've tried so hard for this.
Yeah.
I there's no way I can't enjoy it. I hate those people who moan about pregnancy. They're the worst. So I told everyone it was wonderful. And then my birth was not brilliant. I mean, it wasn't awful by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't the dream. Mm. There was no earth mother breathing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think anyone has that.
You know, I think it's life. No, actually, one of my friends has had that 3 times.
Oh, whatever.
Yes. And then, her newborn stage was difficult because she wouldn't eat. And I ended up with a very thin baby on a feeding tube. So the first, it's not an easy process becoming a new parent.
No.
And do I want to upend my life again to go through that? I don't know.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard. I had, I definitely had postnatal something. I don't know. Yes. It's not, I didn't recognize it as depression. I think it was anxiety, but
yeah,
whatever.
I think
I'm kind of scared of that as well. Mm. Like, it's just not a nice feeling. I don't really want to go back to feeling that way. But then, you know, you don't know. Maybe it wouldn't be like that the second time because you kind of know so much more about what you're doing and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of at the back of your head as well. You're kind of like, oh God, I don't know. I just want to, I don't know. But I know that if I don't try, I will always regret not having tried.
Now that's a really good, so I was thinking the other day of like making a list of pros and cons, which seems like a very clinical way of making a decision.
Hey,
about bringing another human
into
your life.
Big fan of doing that. Yeah. I think it's helpful.
And a lot of the pros that I thought of, because I haven't actually made the list yet, a lot of the pros that I thought of were shoulds. I should do it because then Noah will have a sibling. I should do it because she won't be alone. I should do it because, and oh yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to say is, you know, I've got these three embryos and there's a part of me that believes they deserve a chance at life.
Oh yeah.
Which is very scary. If suddenly they start working.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you now. I can
not
tell you
three.
That. Yeah, another thing.
Yeah.
And then the other day I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe it could be like, I could just have a midlife crisis at 45 and just try then. Just, we could just wait for a really long time.
Well, I have been thinking about waiting a bit longer. It's kind of like, I just don't really know, because then part of you is like, just do it now and then that's done and then you can kind of get out of the newborn phase and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the other part of me is like, why don't I just wait until I'm ready?
Yeah.
Until I feel more ready, because right now I don't feel ready. But no. I know I want to do it, but I don't feel ready.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
But I just, what? You want to be doing that in your 40s, like 40s, mid-40s, whatever.
No. I feel like this is a very unstructured conversation and people are like, can you just fucking get on with it? Can you just make a decision? I think this might be a picture of the inside of our brains. Just
yeah,
like
it's quite hard to formulate. There's just lots of thoughts going around.
Yeah. And I did email my clinic the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's going to be massively complicated by the fact that I now live an hour and a half away rather than
same.
A 20-minute tube right away.
Is there even a clinic in Kent?
I think there's one. I don't know. That's a shout out to all our Kent-based listeners. Are there any clinics?
Where did you do your IVF?
Yeah, I did look at moving my embryos to a different clinic because I didn't want to do it at our clinic, but I just then decided, no, I'm just going to grit my teeth and bear it.
Yeah. No, I've said it a million times. So I really was a big fan of mine.
Yeah, you loved yours.
So I definitely like to go back there if I can, but it is going to be tricky to get to. But I suppose, you know, you just have to suck it up. Other people have to deal with that, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Lots of people travel to their clinics. We were just very lucky that ours was like one or two tube stops away.
Yes, we're snowflakes.
Yeah, exactly.
We're IVF snowflakes.
Yeah, we just have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's just, it's an, I think, yeah, we probably both will end up trying. It's just a matter of when. So to answer the people who messaged us about it, I guess that's the answer.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I guess this conversation is also an indicator that, like, it doesn't go away. The weirdness and the kind of introspection and the, you know, the inner monologue.
Yeah, definitely.
It just doesn't go. It doesn't go away. Well, it changes. And I also think, for me, who has experienced, you know, longing for a baby, I think I would be able to make peace if I tried those three embryos and they didn't work.
Mm.
I think I would be able to draw a line and say, okay, that's it. Although I'd be really annoyed about how much we'd spent, but
I think a lot of people listening with us on that one,
they're gonna be like, you'd be annoyed, pal.
No, we haven't spent, we haven't spent any money yet, really.
No.
On actual IVF, spent money on other stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Urology.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very lucky to have had what we've had, I suppose, without having to shelf out too much money. So.
Yeah, and we're so lucky to be parents already. But it's
oh, God,
a really,
yeah.
I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this. I didn't expect to start getting teary when people start announcing their pregnancies. That has taken me by surprise. Yeah. But it's not the same like hard ball of envy in my stomach.
No, no.
Which is nice. It's a nice change.
It is a nice change. Mm. But yeah. I think if I don't do it, I'll regret it. So inevitably I will. It's just when. Current discussion is January, but that could change, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not actually going to do it just for the podcast. So if I decide to wait, guys, I'm just going to do that. I'm not going to be like, no, I must for the podcast.
What would you call the baby if you, little BFN?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Just material.
You could give it a name with a B and a middle names of F and N, couldn't you? Beatrice, yeah. Florence.
Nigel.
Nigel. Oh, little Beatrice, Florence, Nigel.
And with that, I think we've lost it.
So I think we've had enough.
Guys, if you listen to this and you think that we're twats, let us know.
Yeah.
If you
feel the same.
This, yeah. If you listen to this and you think we're spoiled bitches, and we did warn you at the beginning. Are. So, yeah. But it's. I think for anyone who's interested, that's where our heads are.
Yeah. That's the brain dump. And a very unstructured brain dump.
Yeah,
for baby number two.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Hey, guys. Hope you're still talking to us after that. Rant.
Yes. We, next week, are going to be talking to Dr. Belinda Coker.
Oh, yeah. She's a fertility concierge.
A fertility concierge. She runs a company called Your Trusted Squad.
Yep.
And we had a really nice chat with her, didn't we?
We did. We had a great chat. And I just love the name Your Trusted Squad. I was just saying that it feels so activated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The squad is on your side. We're going to get you pregnant. Step.
Yeah. Yeah, she was lovely.
She was lovely. So yeah, tune in next week for that one. And we'll also have more Liz next week answering more of your questions.
And we might try and get some Professor Tim.
Maybe. I'll try. If he's still talking to us.
Yeah. Right. See you later.
Bye.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.